I am to speak to you tonight on the application of X-rays to the study of the crystalline structure of materials. The examination of the structure of crystals by means of X-rays first became a possibility some 15 years ago. Since that time, the subject has been advanced by the work of a number of investigators who have been drawn to it in the hope that a new point of view might open up wide and important fields of knowledge which had hitherto been beyond the reach of inquiry. The resulting accessions to knowledge are described in several excellent and comprehensive treatises, which, however, can with difficulty keep pace with the rapid development of the subject, because the method finds application in almost every branch of science. As the subject has a special bearing on the structures employed by mechanical engineers, I have thought that you might be willing to listen for a short time to an explanation of the principles on which it is based. Such statements have, of course, been made already and are to be found in published form. Nevertheless, I hope that I may be able to put the matter before you in a way which will lead simply and directly to the explanation of some of the most recent investigations on engineering materials, and particularly metals and alloys. The properties of any material depend, as we all know, upon its fine structure. No better example of the fact could be given than the growth of metallurgical science under the influence of the microscope. The toughness, the hardness, the brittleness, and other qualities of, let us say, a sample of steel vary enormously with the condition to which the steel is brought by work and heat. The microscope shows that the changes are marked by striking alterations in the appearance of the steel. The grains that are brought out by suitable etching show an infinite variety of forms which the expert has learnt to associate with a corresponding variety of qualities in the material. The fine structure thus displayed is obviously in close relation to quality. But below the structure which the microscope makes clear is a much finer structure which no eye can see and no microscope will ever help the eye to see. In this realm of small things, the lens of the microscope is constitutionally incapable of acting as an optical instrument. And yet, it is of the highest importance that the ultrafine structure should be recognized and known. It is the real foundation of the properties of the body. That which the microscope reveals is merely a consequence of the other. The minutest grain of the microscope photograph has a structure and effective properties which depend upon it. How shall we reach this finer view and understand these more fundamental relations? We must, in the first place, abandon the light waves that serve us in the study of grosser details and use ether waves more fitted for the work. The lengths of light waves have only a small range of variation, but even within that range, we have some guidance to the course we must take. The finer the details to be observed, the shorter the waves that must be employed to be affected by them and to make them visible. In modern microscopy, the shortest possible wavelengths, violet and ultraviolet, are employed in order to increase the power of recognizing small things. When, on the other hand, we wish to avoid the scattering of light, we use long waves, as when red flares are employed to penetrate a fog, and as infrared rays have been used to obtain photographs through a scattering atmosphere. But we wish to make a step hundreds of times as great as that between the two ends of the optical range, and we find the requisite quality in the extremely short ether waves known as the X-rays. It is an extraordinary fact that the X-rays which are emitted by apparatus such as we can conveniently construct and use are ether waves of just the right length for our purpose. Had they been 10 times longer or 10 times shorter, we should have been in very different case. The wavelengths are in fact of the same order as, but rather shorter than, the dimensions of the fine structure we wish to examine, and this is exactly what we want. Whenever radiation, ether waves, is to be used to show the details of an object, it is essential that the waves shall not be larger than the details of the object examined, nor indeed as large. Here then is our illumination of the right quality. How do we apply it? We are anxious to study those fine details on which the properties of substances depend. We have an ether radiation of the proper quality. What is the next step to be taken? We take advantage of a certain strong tendency in nature for regularity of arrangement. The atoms of which a metal is composed are always found to be more or less in ordered array. One and the same pattern of arrangement may not indeed extend through the whole specimen. There may be breaks on each side of which are arrangements that are similar but do not dovetail into each other. But whether the boundaries of any one array include a larger or smaller mass, regularity is always there. A portion throughout which the regularity is continuous is a single crystal. Usually, a mass of metal is an aggregate of minute crystals orientated in different directions. This tendency to regularity is extraordinarily persistent. Whenever a substance solidifies, whether from liquid or vapor, the atoms or molecules tend to arrange themselves in some pattern proper to that substance. The longer the time given, and the less disturbing the circumstances, the more complete and exact is the arrangement. Even when a substance has been so rapidly hurried into the solid state that the molecules have not had time to arrange themselves correctly, the unfinished process is only hindered and not arrested entirely. A slow crystallization continues to take place. Finally, and this is what makes the new analysis possible, whenever there are waves and a regularity of spacing which is of the same order of magnitude as the length of the waves, there can result a certain measurable phenomenon called diffraction. The spacings of the striations of mother of pearl are of the same order as the length of light waves. Hence the diffraction colors that play upon its surface. The diffraction effects observed on the grating spectrometer allow us to compare the wavelength of light with the distance between two lines of the grating. In the same way, there will certainly be some kind of diffraction effect when X-rays traverse a body in which there is regularity of arrangement.